Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Mem Zayin Menachos 47. Today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara cites a Braisa with respect to the Kivsei Atzeres, the two sheep that are brought as offerings in the temple on the holiday of Shavuos, and they are brought with two loaves of bread. So the Braisa states, the Tosefta states, Ein Mekadshin Es Halechem El B'Shlita, that these two sheep, even though they're brought with two loaves of bread, that the two loaves of bread are only consecrated with the sanctity of what's called Kedushas Aguf, the sanctity of being so holy that they are endowed with the sanctity of the temple and allowed to be eaten. That is only when the sheep are slaughtered. Meaning to say, Ketzad Shechatan Lashma, if these sheep were slaughtered for the purpose of this offering, Vizarak Daman Lashman, and their blood was sprinkled for that same purpose, Kadash Halachem. Then the bread is become sanctified and is permitted to be eaten. But Shechatan Shalo Lashman, but if the sheep were not slaughtered for the right purposes, Vizarak Daman Shalo Lashman, or their blood was not sprinkled for the right purposes, then Lo Kadash Halachem. Then the bread is not been sanctified. Shachatan Lashman Vizarak Daman Shalo Lashman. Let's say it was slaughtered for the right purpose, but the blood was sprinkled not for the right purpose. Halechem Kadosh Ve'eno Kadosh. The bread is consecrated and not consecrated, according to Rebbe. And the Gemara is going to explain what Rebbe means. But Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, La'olam Eino Kadosh Ad Sheyishlo Lashman Ve'yizrok Daman Lashman. According to Rebbe Elazar, the son of Rebbe Shimon, that the bread is not going to be consecrated until the sheep are slaughtered properly and the blood is sprinkled for this purpose of Lashman, for the purpose of this offering. So Tosos immediately challenges this. He says, what do you mean until the blood is sprinkled? The blood doesn't need to be sprinkled at all. We learn in the first chapter of Tractate Pesachim that Rebbe Shimon is of the opinion that as long as the blood is standing ready to be sprinkled, it's as though it's sprinkled. So why does he say it's only consecrated once it is sprinkled l'shma for the purpose of the consecration? So comes along Riva. Riva was a German Tosafist, and Riva writes, Zrika shelo l'shma griya minishbachtam. Yes, indeed, the blood doesn't need to be sprinkled, but if it was sprinkled, if it did come to be sprinkled, then if it was sprinkled without the proper intent, that's actually worse than if the blood had spilled on the floor. Meaning to say, if it had spilled on the floor, the sacrifice would have been valid and the bread would have been consecrated. But because it was sprinkled for the wrong intent, therefore we view it as though it was done, it did not consecrate the bread. So spilling it on the floor is actually better than sprinkling it for the wrong intent. This idea of once you do something, you have to do it the right way, but if you didn't do it, it wouldn't be problematic. This is actually something that relates to the laws of Sukkos and the laws of how one is supposed to hold a lulav and esrog, because the Torah writes in Or HaChaim Siman Tav Resh Nun Aleph that, technically speaking, a lulav min hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, does not require Igud. It does not require it to be bound up, meaning to say you don't need to bind the four species together. But nevertheless, it is a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It is ideally what one is supposed to do is to bind the four species on account of the beauty, because we say it's noy. It's more beautiful if you bind it together. But since, says the Torah, since a person is not obligated to bind it, then even if a person binds it, but a person is able to bind it for beauty, then even though a person binds it with something that is not part of the four species, we don't have to be worried that it's causing a chatzitza, an interposition, because even though it's coming from a different species, since it's coming for the noise, since it's coming to beautify the ruav, we don't consider it to be a interposition and thereby invalidating the ruav and esrog. And the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Aguda that anything that causes an interposition between the ruav and the hand is going to be problematic. And so therefore the Beis Yosef writes that a person should ideally remove their tefillin or their tzitzis before holding it. And he says that women have the custom to remove their rings before they hold a lulav. However, technically speaking, a person is not required to remove it, even though that became the practice, because he says only if it envelops the whole hand would we say it's an interposition and a person has not fulfilled their obligation. But a portion of the hand, it's not going to be considered to be an interposition, and a person would be allowed to hold the lulav and esrog while they are wearing their ring, for example. Comes along the Bach, and the Bach argues with this position that the Beis Yosef cites, and he says it doesn't imply that, because When we say be'eged, when we say it needs to be bind, it implies that the reason why it's not a chatzitza is because it was done for its beauty. And so this tells us that if the eged was not done for the beauty, it would be an interposition, even though it doesn't cover the entire ruav and the entire hand. So we see from here that it, in order to function as a chatzitza, it doesn't need to cover the entire hand. Even a portion of it is going to be considered to be a mechitza. So that's the position that the Bach writes. The Horus Unasan comes along and he says he doesn't understand the Bach, because why do we say that if it's just a chatzitza on a portion of it, it's going to be an interposition? Because we know that a person doesn't need to hold the lulav with their entire hand. They could just hold the lulav with one finger and that's going to be sufficient, because the Torah doesn't say you have to take the lulav in your whole hand. And so therefore, if a person would just be holding the lulav in one finger, that wouldn't be a chatzitza. So why would we say that if there's a chatzitza over the, unless the chatzitza, even if the chatzitza is on a part of the hand, it's a chatzitza when you don't even need to hold the lulav and esrog with your whole hand? So, but the Horus Unasan says maybe we see from our Tosfos that it's not the case, that his argument was wrong, because we see from our Tosfos that sometimes if you do something even though you're not required to and then you do it incorrectly, then it's problematic. So to here, technically speaking, you don't need to hold it with your own hand, but if there's a chatzitza on part of your hand, indeed that could be problematic. And so therefore, that he suggested that therefore I guess it would be ideal to remove the things even though it's not essential, but it would be better to remove the rings before holding the Arba Minim.